بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All man is his deathbed, the throes of death. So he summons all his three sons. He addresses them. You are the eldest son, and I've done so much for you. I gave my sweat for you. I gave my blood for you. I broke up with my brothers for you. I stood at your side all the time just for you. I traveled to various countries for your comfort. So now that I am in the throes of death, I want to know from you, what will you do for me after I am gone? Seeing that I've done so much for you, for your comfort, for your ease, for your betterment, how much I've done. I broke up with someone, I fought with someone, I saw someone, I spent nights for you, days for you, I gave my sweat for you, my blood for you. I had to fly to countries just for your sake. So he asked the first son, in a few moments I'll be no more, and then I want to know from you, what are you going to do for me after I've left? So that son says, well, as long as you are around, I will take good care of you. I'll look for the best physician, best hospital, best comfort, best bed, I'll look for you. But the moment you are gone, I will jump into the lap of the next person and I will deceive him like how I deceived you. I will show him a good picture, dreams, aspirations, ambitions. Like I had shown him, I will show it to you. Alright. He asked the second son, that I've been so good for you, I look for your comfort, for your ease, for your betterment, for your prosperity, for your happiness. Now, in a few moments, I'll be no more. But what are you going to do for me? So the second son says, well, I will take good care of you. And I will look towards you till the very last. And you have died, I will do your ghusl kafan, and I will lower you into the grave. From that point onwards, life needs to continue. Alright, then he speaks to the third one. You know, you, I have neglected you the most. I used you for my convenience. Wherever I needed you, I used you. I was in a constraint, I used you. Some financial constraint, then I should use you. Allahumma akfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini. I should make wazifa ya mughni. So all the things I should do just to use you, just to use you. I didn't spend on you, I neglected you. If there was a function, I would ask you, you just stay out. You don't come into this. You keep away, you keep one side. Whilst everybody else was celebrating, we kept you out conveniently. We didn't visit you, we didn't pay the respect for you, we kept you out from all situations. Now I want to know from you, what are you going to do for me after I am no more? So the third son says, well, I know that I was neglected. Nonetheless, in spite of me being neglected, I will be with you as long as you are alive. The moment you die, I'll still be with you. In your grave, I'll be with you. I will only leave you after I have admitted you into Jannah. The path of salvation I will put you into, once I've got you there, then I'll leave. So the first brother is wealth. We give our sweat, we give our time, we give our lives, we give our honor and respect. We fly abroad, right? We fight with people. We come to the defense of that wealth. We'll speak a lie. We'll deceive. We'll cheat. We'll do haram, mix up everything. Just for that material security. Whether it's halal or haram, whatever. But that material security, I will do everything for yourself. For your security, material, I will do everything. I will break up with someone. I will take my brother to court. I will take my father to court. I will do everything. But for your security, you must remain nice. You must remain well. As long as you are all right, I am comfortable with you. So much has been done. And then at the end, at that very crucial moment, you say, well, the moment you are gone, then I hop on to the next person's lap. And I'll show him the same dreams, the same ambitions, the same aspirations that I've been showing you. So that's the point of separation. هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكُ. This is a point of separation. We never back to return. So I will show him the dream like I've been showing you. I will give you the aspirations like I will give you. I will show him the ambitions now. Now in his lap, I'll show him a lot of ambitions. You can do this, you can fly like this, you can enjoy like this, you can eat this type of food. So like I was bluffing you, now I'll bluff him. Like I was deceiving you, now I'll deceive him. So the second brother, who is the second brother? That's the relatives and friends. Obviously we're doing things to keep them comfortable, prosperous, let them enjoy, my son, my daughter, my wife, etc. But the furthest we can reach up with you is till we have lowered you to the grave. After that, then we all say, no, life needs to continue. The business needs to run. I got commitments, I got obligations, all need to continue. So that's the second brother. And the third brother is Deen. So we only use the Deen for the time of convenience. Allah Baag, I'm in a problem now. Look for me. Lost my job. Lost his business here. This thing was yielding so much for me. Allah Baag, I'll give some sadaqah. I will do this for him. I will do that. But Allah Baag, just see my business right. So everything to use, everything to pull out. And when it was an enjoyable function, then Deen, I kept you out. From the hall, I kept you out. From the mall, I kept you out. At the time of celebrations, I'll keep you out. Joyous occasions, keep you out. Conveniently, I kept you out. You will come inside, you will spoil everything. No music, no woman, no dancing, no mixing up, no photography. So you will keep you out, and we'll keep you out conveniently. We won't get you into the equation. Get you into the equation, we get into problems. We keep you out. Only when we need you now, we're in constraints, difficulty, someone is sick now, sakrat or something, labag, give some sadqah on sheep, give to snimba farm, give all the garibs. Person is sakrat, so he must come upright. So only at the time of convenience, then we will use this one here. It's a little bit more critical, give one cow now. Not very critical, he broke his hand, one sheep, alright, enough. But now he's critical, life support, let's give one cow. So we're doing a lot, but for some matlab, for some convenience. So that's the third brother. But the third brother, when you ask him, what are you going to do for me? And third brother says, no, I'll be with you. You were unloyal, but I will show you my loyalty. You were unfriendly, I will show you my friendship. You were unsociable, you didn't socialize with me, but I will socialize with you. I will stick with you right till I've got you into Jannah. Then only I'll separate, but I will remain with you all the time. On the day of Qiyamah, and mankind is all ushered, right? Jannatis are going to Jannah. The only moment of regret will be that moment that you didn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you're seeing, hey, he's on this palace and he's on the 100th level of Jannah, that stage. And I'm still playing around the 50th. He's escalated. Especially, look at the vehicles that he's got. What vehicles he's got in Jannah? I'm still with the Corolla. See what he's moving in. And I can't reverse this thing here. He's moving around with a Rolls Royce, moving with a jet. I'm with a cycle in Jannah. Hey, see, chalk and cheese difference. See how he's moving and where am I today? So the only moment of regret in Jannat will be that moment that went past without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, Allah Pak opens the eyes, then you begin to see. You begin to see the values. Everything is seen. The value of everything becomes visible to you. Before that, you could not see things in perspective. See, between us and Jannat or Jahannam is a very thin veil. And that veil is so thin, your eyes must just close and there you are in Jannat. Eyes must just close. Decision is made, passed, for you to go to Jahannam. It's just a delay for the eyes to close. The moment the eyes are closed, you're gone. Plus. So you're so close to Jannat or you're so close to Jahannam. You don't know where you're going. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. As the decision is passed, someone is being dispatched to Jannat, someone is being dispatched to Jahannam, gone. There, and therefore keeps, no reverse. Allah Ta'ala gives everybody a chance. See, the divine plan of Allah Ta'ala, nobody can say that Allah Pak didn't give him a chance. He gives everybody a chance. Some inspiration, he talks to you through inspiration. You can't see him. You can't hear him. But you can feel him in your heart. Ramadan time comes, don't we get some inspiration? I'll do this, I won't run around. Running here, there, aimlessly, I won't do all these things. Now I'll focus, I'll work, I'll concentrate, and I'll progress. So those inspirations come. But the moment Ramadan ends, they say, yes, I will see you next year. Those inspirations, those promises that you made, though it is mentally, it's all forgotten on each day. But until you were there, I'll try this. So you will bluff, try to deceive Allah Ta'ala. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَادِعُونَ. You think you're going to get away. You're making those promises, make those pledges, I will do this and I will do this. And we think that we'll get away. خَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُونَ. So this inspiration Allah Ta'ala blesses to everybody. Anybody and everybody gets it. A kafir also cannot say that he wasn't inspired. وَنَفْسِمْ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا. He's getting that inspiration. But then it is a question of who is exploiting that inspiration and who is abusing it. You're getting that inspiration from Allah Ta'ala. Are you using it correctly? You sit in a bayan and say, no, I must go for 4 months. I must dedicate my time. Right? I must do everything correctly. But then after that, say, oh, you know, life needs to continue. What's going to happen? And how are we going to work things out? All those complications come. Man passed away, say, life. And the moment you buried the person and you're turning away, you know, life needs to continue. You know, my obligations, my duties, my commitments, payments, all that I have to do, I have to work for it. The moment you just come out of the qabrastan, everything is forgotten. But until the person died and you are there, you're a different person. And you come out, you're a different person. So this inspirations Allah Pak has been giving you all the time. One person, he complains to Malakul Maut, you know, what is this idea of yours, you know? What is this system of yours? You just come, you just rock up at anybody at any time. At any time, at any person, you just rock up. And you say, I'm going to take you now and now. What is this? You know, the system of the world, I'm trying to understand. 21st century. This person is addressing Malakul Maut. You know, when there's an important thing coming up, then there are warnings, there are symbols, there are signals given to the person. Child's working for the examinations, then there's a trial examination, then there's a final examination. And if he failed, there's a supplementary examination. You just rock up. And you just come, do your work, and you're gone. No signals given, no symbols, no signals whatsoever. You just come up, do your work, and you're gone. Come with the storm, and you go with the storm. So what's your problem? Come, wake up now. You must give some indications you must give up. So Malakul Maut says, I'm not so bad and impolite as you think, as you make it. When Allah Ta'ala was assigning the duties to the Malaika, Mikael for Rosi and sustenance, Jibreel for Wahi and inspiration, right? Israfil, for the trumpet to be blown, and came to Israel alayhi salam's time. So he complained to Allah Ta'ala, you know, everybody is going to look at me, and they're going to look at me with contempt. They're not going to like me. Because they say, oh, who came? Israel came to take the heart of my child, the cherry of my heart. You know, he's taking it away. So everybody's going to look at me with contempt. They will dislike me. They won't think good of me. And in life, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that you must be disliked. You in your home, do you want to be disliked? Your children, your wife, your near and dear ones, do you want to be disliked? You want them to like you. Whether you've got wealth or not, but you want them to like you, to respect you, to like you, to love you. You feel wanted, you feel there's a meaning to life. But if there's nobody that likes you in the house, then you say, yeah, I better not be around. Nobody that likes me. So that feeling to be liked. Now just digressing a little bit. Under the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. That Allah Ta'ala and His Malaika send their special blessings and salutations upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the word that has been used is the Muzari, right? And the Muzari here comes for istimrar, continuity. In other words, Allah Ta'ala's special blessings, choices blessings, and choices salutations are upon Allah, upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all the time. It's not now, and not then, and not before. It's all the time, continuous, all the time. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna, all the time. His choices, blessings, His salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala wants to join us also in this honor. He is doing it Himself, but He wants to give you the privilege, the honor as well, that you also join in what I am engaged. I am engaged in this continuity, and I want you also to be engaged in this. Now, we need to understand the position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before you understand what is the importance of Durood. If you know the position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you will understand and appreciate what Durood Sharif is. Otherwise, we're doing it, but we're doing it as a ritual. We're not doing it with life. Jaan ke saath nahi kar rahe. It's a ritual, formality, one of the things. 100 times Durood Sharif in the morning, evening, must do it. So we're doing it as a formality. Nabi Sassam is closer to you than your own self. Right? He is the Rahmatul Lil Alameen. All the blessings that you have got is coming via Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whether it is spiritual, whether it is material, whether it is physical, you are getting it through Nabi Sassam. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give his blessing direct. You came through your parents, isn't it? So when you're prosperous in your education, in your life, in your business, whatever, you say, it's the blessings of my father and my teachers. Don't you say that? Don't you? Yeah, I'm not worthy of anything. The blessings of my parents, my teachers, that I am today, wherever I am. So Allah doesn't give it to you generally, directly. But He gives it to you through some means. So the means of you getting blessed, whether it was spiritual, whether it was material, was Nabi Sassam, Rahmatan Lil Alameen. It was a pure personification, embodiment of a mercy, embodiment of blessings. So you get the blessings via Nabi Sassam. But now, you want to know how to gain that special blessing from Nabi Sassam. You want to know, everybody wants to know. Alright. So you will get that blessing from Nabi Sassam in proportion to your affinity and bond. So just for you to understand this, understand the concept, then you appreciate it. A small child, right, little child, 7, 9, 10 years of age, or say even younger, 4, 5 years of age, he feels very comfortable, very strong in the presence of his parents. They're not there, how does he feel? He can't sleep, he's feeling restless, he's feeling uneasy. But the moment he's got his parents, he feels a sense of security, protection, ease and comfort, mentally, physically, every way. He feels that type of comfort, right? In the presence of his parents. Right? So a mu'min will feel comfortable and easy when he's got that affinity with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To the extent of the affinity and the bond will be that blessing. You've got that affinity, you've got the blessing. But if it's just a formal thing, now a little bit of Durood Sharif, now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, it's gone. So you just have that formal type of a relationship, then you get a formal blessing. But you've got that very special type of an affinity. You say, I can't do without you. Whether it is spiritually, whether it is materially, I need you all the time. Because Allah Ta'ala chose to bless me through you. He chose to give me existence through my parents and my teachers, right? My tutors, whoever they were, right? And He chose to give, to bless me through you. And the way I will get your blessing is in proportion to the affinity I have, the bond that I have. There must be some meaning to Siraja Munira, a brilliant lamp, right? Allah Pak says, Nabi Sam is a brilliant lamp. So you will get from the lamp in proportion to your affinity, to your bond. You love it. From within your heart you love. You've got that affinity. The mother sees that the child has got that affinity, that bond with her. What does she do? And the mother sees that this child has not even cared about me, not bothered about me. After some time, she loses concern for the child. But this one here, he can't sleep without me. He won't eat without me. He won't do anything without me. How does the mother see the child? Well, this child here, he identifies, he acknowledges, he does everything. So spiritual, as well as physical, as well as material, we get it through this, via this. So then, in order to get that blessing, you'll have to have that affinity. You'll have to have that bond. Your heart is attached. When your heart is attached, now, if you're alone also, you feel so comfortable. In your home also, you feel relaxed. Because you've got that security, like you've got your father on. Don't you feel secure? You've got 10 guards around your house, AK-47s. How secure don't you feel? Don't you feel secure? In the most crucial moments, times of fitna, but you've got so much of security around you. Corruption all around. But you've got so much of security around you. Don't you feel comfortable? Don't you feel a relaxation? Mentally, don't you feel? So now, when you've got Nabi Sallam on your side, now won't you feel relaxed? Won't you feel comfortable? Won't you feel at ease? So apart from reciting Durood Sharif, the affinity and the bond with Nabi Sallam, the love, the deep love, and the deep affinity will come when you think like this, when you understand this concept. It's not just listening to a concept and forgetting it. You can listen to one recipe and forget it. Will you enjoy the cake? Listen to one tarkari, right? Very, very good tarkari now. Braai, you can marinate it so well. And hear the very good story about it. But until you don't use it, are you going to enjoy it? So for you to enjoy Nabi Sarsam, you'll have to have that affinity and bond. One is that affinity and bond, and then you're going to be reciting Durood Sharif with that spirit, that feeling. Now you see how you feel. At the time of fitna or corruption, but you've got him with you. See how you feel now. It's a different feeling altogether. Different feeling of security. Because Allah Pak is watching. I made Nabi Sassam as your instructor. Are you respecting your instructor that I have appointed? Like the company appoints someone as the manager, and he says the staff, you must listen to him. So how will the company look at that person that is respecting the manager? Other one that thought disregards the manager. One is the one that is respecting him, is seeing him, is built that affinity. How is the company looking at him? So, the relationship with Nabi Sassam has become a very, very formal relationship. That affinity, that bond, that respect, that muhabbat, at least the least level was the affinity that you have with your parents. And to make it even more understanding to you, ask anybody here, anybody, old or young, without your wife, how you feel at home. You got a palatial home, state of the art car you got, Rolls Royce, jet you got, everything you got. But the light of the house is not there, the wife is not there. I ask you, how do you feel? Can you get your sleep properly? Do you feel comfortable with all the roast and kebab eating all yourself? Do you feel comfortable? Old or young, ask them, will you get that comfort? Can you sleep well? So you will get the comfort, the meaning, the fulfillment of life once you build that affinity with the Rahmatul Lil Alamin. He is the Rahmatul Lil Alamin. He may Allah design it that way, that that's the Rahmatul Lil Alamin. You will get Rahmat. You will get the fulfillment. You will get the deepest of satisfaction if you build that affinity with Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But you have to build it. It's a concept that I'm sharing with you. Right? Allah put in my heart with His grace. Right? But you're not going to enjoy it until you don't apply it. So the bond has to be there. The love has to be there. Applying His ways will have to be there. Right? Applying His ways will have to be there. The belief in Him will be there. And as a token of appreciation for what He's done, you're not going to fulfill His rights, obviously. You're not going to compensate. You're not going to fulfill His rights. But as a token of acknowledgement, you see, it is a durood sharif. Don't you say about your parents, you are very loving and dear, they did everything for you, I won't be able to fulfill their rights. Don't you say that. But there must be something as a token of appreciation. Yes, we cannot fulfill His rights. It's too enormous, too much for us to manage and understand. But can't there be something, some time that we dedicate for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some durood sharif? As Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, daily he would recite durood sharif over 1,000 times. With all his hectic schedule, fatwa, hadith, dars, everything he's doing, khanqa. But then over 1,000 times he's got time to read durood sharif. Over 1,000 times. And his advice is at least 300 times. Samajh rahe kam kamzor aadmi hai. So at least 300 times. But that dedication, not just a kachra time, choice time, not just kachra time. You know, I feel a bit difficult to speak about this concept. When you are in intimacy, you want any interference, you want to do 10 things at the same time, or just concentrate on that. So you don't want any disturbance at that time. So when you with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you want any type of interference. You can read the other durood sharif whilst you're walking, talking, etc. You can read. But sometimes, some special moment just for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did you ever think like that? That I need some moments at least with my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just myself and him. I need to bond with him. I need to get the affinity with him. I need to love him. I need to love him to bits. More than myself, I must love him. So, do I bond with him? The person reads that half-heartedly, he reads a little bit durood sharif. Mulana, you know, I'm reading durood sharif, but I've never seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my dream. Bishara, he must leave you and come and meet you. He must leave everything and come to meet you. What are you doing? Tune kya kamal kiya, kya qurbani ki, that you deserve him to pay you a visit. Have you done anything? So anyway, I just digress a little bit. See, anything in life, you begin to appreciate, you begin to enjoy and progress at the level of appreciation, the level of acknowledgement, the level of appreciation, you progress. No appreciation, no acknowledgement, Labak takes it away. The founder of Darulum Dioban, Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanoti Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to see Nabi Sam very regularly. So sometimes whilst I'm awake, sometimes I'm asleep. And I see him, and sometimes when I see him, then he's either covering me or he's getting covered with a green shawl. I'm just getting covered again. I see him and I'm getting covered. So people were interpreting the whole experience in their own ways. They asked the Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, what is the meaning of this? So Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah says, humne aapko apne bande se nawaza, humne aapko apne imam se nawaza, aur tumne unki qadar nahi ki, lihaza humko wapas bulate. We have blessed you with Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah, an imam of the time. But you people are not appreciating him, so we're calling him back. So that to the extent that you want to appreciate, you want to acknowledge, it's going to be your progress. That's going to mark and determine your progress. How much do you bond with his sunnah, with his ways, with durood sharif upon him, with a special affinity, that bond with him. You're talking to me, reading Durood Sharif, but with that love, with that feeling. One is the general Durood Sharif that you read, and one is that special time that you've got. Even if it is, see, one is that 100 that you read in the morning and the evening, and one is say, alright, you know, from today, I will read Durood Sharif, just before namaz or after namaz, just myself and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just the total dedication towards his heart, and read Durood Sharif. I'm reading Durood Sharif, but with total dedication to his Mubarak soul. Allah Pak was given the choicest blessings. His heart will be so pleased, you know. Kama yaliku bishani. Can't we do that at least once before the namaz or after the namaz? Can we do it or can't we do it? One time, two times, before the namaz, after the namaz, but with that full heart, you know, not half-hearted, not with a divided and scattered concentration, with full concentration just towards the Nabi, that this durood must reach him. That is why you find that this great muhaddiseen, right, sometimes in one page of hadith you'll find about one third of the page is just dedicated to Durood Sharif. They're writing a hadith, because the hadith is coming from Nabi, they're writing the durood in full. And just one line of the hadith, and another hadith coming, again they are writing the Durood Sharif in full, not S-A-W, not Salam, no abbreviation, full Durood Sharif, full Durood Sharif. And I say, you need to do it. Right. Now it's a time people use abbreviations, but I ask you, if your name is Abdul Qadir, right, and your child calls you AK, how are you? My father is AK. Will you appreciate that if your son says that? Someone else says, or you overlook it, right? But if it is your son that uses abbreviations for you, do you appreciate it? Well, you'll appreciate it, you say, no, my father is Haji Abdul Qadir Saab or something. But you'll say it with respected words, full, you'll say the full word. So now the choice of mankind, and then we are using abbreviations, shortcuts and all that, and you want Nabi Sam to appreciate, you want that bond, you want that love, is not a token of love. It's just a formality. You're going to motions. You're not showing love. Now then we want to know why we don't feel those things. Why we don't feel that full satisfaction. But I say, do you give that? So anyway, we're coming back to this topic that we started off, right? Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi is the king of the whole Afghanistan. And literally, he's sitting upon not millions, trillions. Trillions, you know. He's sitting so much. Rubies, gems, precious stones. He's got it. At any given time, he's got about 5,000 attendants is attending to him. So wealthy he is, right? He's the king of the whole Afghanistan. That zamana, at the prime of its time. You know? Whole area, he's the king. And the kings normally have a session with all the advisors, ministers and all that. They have one time, 2-3 hours in the day, they have a special sitting around with them. So, one person, somehow or the other, he breaks all the security and he comes straight to Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. Sir, I want to book in your lodge. I want to book in your lodge. It's not a lodge, it's my palace. This is my palace. How did you get in here? So, no. You say it's your palace. I want to know one thing from you. I want to know this from you, that before you, who was running this palace? My father, he was the king, and before your father, grandfather, and before him, so forth and so on, carried on, right? Alright, and then after you, who will be in charge, who will be in control? My son, and then after your son, then grandson, and so forth and so on. So the stranger that comes up and says, well, this is genuinely a lodge, you know. Someone is coming, someone is going. Koi aata hai, koi jata hai. Koi aata hai, koi jata hai. To say it's your lodge, then it's a fool's paradise. Literally, it's a fool's paradise. Because you're coming in, you're booking in, and you're going out. As you're going out, the next person is booking in, he's going out. As the second person is booking in, he's going out, the third person is coming in. And it's going to continue like this. So it's not your place. is just a lodge, it's just an inn. Someone comes in, it's a BB, It's a BB. You just book in and you book out. You book in and you book out. Just that this BB, this world, this BB, you don't book in of your own choice and you don't book out of your own choice. You come in with someone else's decision and you go out with his decision. Here you book in with your own choice and you book out with your choice. Here you book in, not your choice. Did you make any application to Allah, I need to come to planet Earth. Anyway, saying this, the stranger just disappears. I mean, Adam is shaken up. Hey, who is this stranger here? And he just broke the security, came right up to me. And he makes this type of a statement, you know. Who is this? He got shaken up. So he says, no. There's a deeper meaning to life. From something different to what meets the eye. See, bare logo ki nazar bhi bari hoti hai. Dil bhi bara hota hai. Great person, magnanimous person. His heart is big. His sight is big. His vision is great, magnanimous, right? So they look at things in a different level. Small people like us, we look at this small thing, one of those experiences came and went away. And great people, they look at it differently. So no, I need to go and reanalyze the whole life. What is life about? It's just this palace enjoyment and all that. What this person says is a fact. This is an inn. Someone is booking in, someone is booking out. I don't know when I'm booking out. So I need to do something about myself. I need to sort myself out. Am I sorted out? So he throws in the keys, gone out. Left everything, all the guards and everything. So, this thing is not going to work out. I'm going to take this thing here and Allah Ta'ala. Then it's like two co-wives, two people with inconsistent attitudes. Can you join them up together? Two people with total inconsistent attitudes. Fire and water, can you put it together? Can't put it together. So that's the world and the akhirah. True, they can't see eye to eye. They just can't see eye to eye. One is taking you in this direction, one is taking you in the opposite direction, but you can't just get them to be together. So anyway, he says, no, I'm just made out. I analyze this thing. Well, he spent about 2-3 nights thinking about the whole thing. I need to reanalyze this whole thing. He's giving it a deep thought, you know. Where am I? Am I going the right direction? Am I in the right train, right taxi? Am I in the right vehicle or wrong vehicle? So he throws everything up. Now he's traveling, looking out for Allah Ta'ala. How do I get there? That was a signal for me. So I need to search for the right. Because like I say, you know, in a second's time you are gone. Before the second, you felt so magnanimous of yourself. Hey, I got the palatial home. I got the car. I got the home. I got an investment property. I got this. I got this. But I say, just the second that your eyes close, is that of any value? Look at what you got. You got this bank balance. You got the investment. You got the property. You got all the comfort. But precisely that moment that your eyes closed, does mean anything? Does it have any value? So it's such an uncertain thing, unpredictable thing. The value of it can just crash at any time. And it will. But just that you don't know when that moment is going to come. Mansur is the king, right? He's a father or someone of Harun al-Rashid, father or grandfather of Harun al-Rashid. So Mansur, Abbasi king. Now, in his dream, he sees Malakul Maut. So as he sees Malakul Maut, so obviously what is going to be the next question? You have a personal encounter with Malakul Maut, what are you going to ask? Waqt aaya hai, some chance, you know, can you work out something for me? That's the question, right? So Mansur asked Malakul Maut, when is my time? Obviously now, Malakul Maut, you can't beat around the bush. You go straight to the point. So he's asking Malakul Maut, when is my time? Malakul Maut just did this. And he's gone. Now a man is perplexed, bechen, uneasy, perturbed. You know, I asked him, when is my time? And he just did this. So the king now, he gets all ulama, etc. What is the meaning of this dream? Someone is saying, apne zoke muafiq aradmi jabde. According to his temperament and understanding, at his level, he's giving an answer. Eventually, he came up to Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah, as the contemporary. Say, this is what I saw. So, Imam Sahib, rahmatullah, tells him, see, everybody is anxious to know some things. Allah Bak says that this knowledge of these four or five things are with me exclusively. And the ghaib overall is with me. The ghaib, all things that is not accessible, not perceivable to humanity, right? Everything is in my knowledge. Whether it's perceivable to you or not, but it's my knowledge. But mankind is very anxious to know about these five things. Though everything is in the ghaib, but from the ghaib, you are very, very anxious to know about these five things. So Allah Pak says, bhai, just close the subject because you're not going to get there. No access to it. I've blocked it up, sealed it up. You want to know when it's Qiyamah. I seal that information. You're not going to get that knowledge. Ma tadri nafsum maza taksibu ghada. Nobody knows what he's going to earn the next day. Whether tomorrow is going to bring you prosperity or adversity. It's going to bring you good health or ill health. It's going to bring you some reputation or disreputation, right? It's going to bring you some luck or some misfortune. I was saying this morning that there is a different type of a currency. They call it a bit currency. Someone has heard of it, right? Crypto. Kya kehte isko? Crypto, right? Crypto. So he's telling me now, you know, it started off with 20 rands. That cryptocurrency started with 20 rands. Now today, it has gone up to 50,000 rand. So I'm thinking to myself, the one that bought it at that time, he must be excited, right? But the one that didn't buy it, hey, I missed out already, but from 20 rand, I could have just gone to millions. Why? I could have just bought that thing. So Allah is saying, buy this. Block it off. I blocked it off completely. What are you going to get tomorrow? What's going to be your fate? What's going to be your future? Nobody knows. Blocked it off complete. Seeing a man is healthy and strong. Next moment he's got a heart attack. His aura is moving. Next moment they say cancer is the fourth degree. Don't you hear about these stories? All the time you're hearing the stories. So what's going to happen tomorrow? Nobody knows about it. Mada taksibu ghada. And the future is so close, you know, that death, Qiyamah, Jannat, Jahannam, it's just a matter of you closing your eye. You close your eye, there you in Jannat, you in Jahannam. Gone. Irreversible. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah says to him that the meaning of the dream is, as anxious as man is to know about these five things, that when you go, where, when, how you going to die, that is known only to Allah Ta'ala. Where you going to die, how you going to die, and when you going to die, that's known to Allah Ta'ala exclusive. Nobody, he doesn't share this information with anybody. Even Malakul Maut says, Malakul Maut himself says, Nabi Sam saw him seated at the head side of an Ansari. So Nabi Sam requested him, be gentle to my ummah, be kind to my ummah. So Malakul Maut says, Ana bikulli mu'minin rafiqun. I am gentle, I am polite, I am kind to every mu'min. Right? I am kind towards every mu'min. But he says, I see everyone and I know everyone. Every human being is walking the surface of this earth. I know him. I recognize him. Because I see him five times a day. You know, I started off this topic here. That man is complaining to Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut says, no, your complaint is not on. Because before my arrival, I send a lot of messages to you, a lot of warnings. Death is a message. Sickness is a message. White hair is a message. Misfortunes are all messages. Accidents are messages. Kabristan is a message. So I send all these messages to you and you totally ignore them. Now here, I'm here in person. And I'm not going to leave without taking you. So to accuse me that I did not send any singles is not fair. I explained that Malakul Maut was complaining to Allah Ta'ala, you know, okay, what about this? What about this? Okay, everybody is going to resent me, they're going to dislike me, they're not going to have a liking for me. So Allah Ta'ala says, no, don't worry. We'll create causes and illnesses. We'll create causes and illnesses for people to die. Right? So nobody will say, hey, Malakul Maut struck this house here. Yeah, cancer man. This person here, he doesn't eat, look after himself. So he had to die. This person here, he doesn't know how to drive. He's taking the steering, he doesn't know how to drive. He crashed, he killed himself, he killed 10 people. So nobody comes and complains about Malakul Maut. They complain about the cause. So you see the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Just marvel at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. That whole blame has been shifted away from Malakul Maut to that cause. Just look at the Qudrat. Unzur ira athari rahmatillah. Look at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. How is creation that thing? Have you ever gone to an hospital and say, hey, Malakul Maut, man, again? Again, you cause it again. Never hear it. You never hear that. You never hear that. Yeah, man, this man, he doesn't know how to drive. Yeah, this person, he doesn't know, he didn't know how to look after himself. He's eating. See how he's causing it for himself. So everybody blames it to the cause, and the whole blame is shifted away from Malakul Maut. So as Malakul Maut says, right, that I know every one of you, because I see you 5 times in the day. Every human being, I see him 5 times. So I know, I identify, I recognize everybody, full, 100%, I understand them. Mujahid rahmatullahi is a student of Ibn Abbas the Anuma. He says that Malakul Maut, the angel of death, right, oh, the death goes very well for two types of people. Two types of people, the death goes very well. See, we're all moving in that direction. We don't want to hear about this, especially at night, before sleeping, we don't hear the story, right? Maut, Malakul Maut, this person passed away. They want someone to make ghusl at 11 o'clock at night. Find anybody. I got some things to do. Get someone else, please. 11 o'clock at night, they want to come in, you to do the ghusl. Right? And go at that time. Get someone else. Okay, you know, a little busy, man. Tomorrow, mutala, I got. So you don't want to hear the story around that time. But Malakul Maut is most gracious for two classes of people. Death is very easy, very enjoyable for two classes of people. One person is that person who is very punctual about his namaz, very careful about his namaz. The time of namaz, the postures of namaz, doing it with jamaat, he's very particular about his namaz. He doesn't cut corners, do it and do it full, properly. We built a house, right? So you say, you're taking the money, I don't want you to cut corners. Every tile to precision. You cut corners, I'm not going to pay you. You do it to precision. Namaz, he does it properly. Time, jamaat, postures, everything he does it properly. Last few weeks, I've been encouraging people individually, I'm saying it collectively. I just got two requests. One is come to the masjid 10 minutes before your routine time. You got a routine, so just come to the masjid, make your pisab, pani, everything 10 minutes before the time coming. Right? But if you come in before the time, then at least 3-4 minutes make istighfar. Because we are surrounded with a lot of problems. Ears are listening to wrong things, eyes are seeing the wrong things, we are talking about the wrong things. At least 2-3 minutes we have come before, and we try to polish the dirt, the filth that has settled in the heart. So many things are going around. So some effort to go and polish the whole thing. Now you're going into the presence of the king with a dirty, filthy heart. How will you appreciate it? Some comes to you talking with a filthy mouth. From a mile you can get the stench. How do you appreciate the person? So you got the stench in your heart. How do you expect Allah Ta'ala to appreciate you? So you're washing it off, clean. At least 2 minutes. Can't manage 2 minutes. At least 1 minute, but come early. 1 minute you make an istighfar, polish it. Get all the stains out. Whether it was the mouth, or the eyes, or the tongue, whichever, but punish it out. And the next 1 minute, at least think, now perhaps this is my last opportunity to perform namaz. I don't know, the next morning, where I'll be. Where I'll be, I don't know, Allah Pak knows. So, at least you will build up a sense of khushu. Alladheena hum fi salatim khashi'un. The command of Allah Ta'ala, that namaz must be done with khushu. Although it's a jumla khabriya, But the jumla khabriya, the mansha of it is insha. So you're going to perform your namaz with khushu, some level of concentration, humility, peace. You are with peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing it with peace, Allah ta'ala will bless you with peace. But you're doing it in a hurry, how you expect Allah ta'ala to give you peace? Come peacefully to Allah ta'ala. He will bless you with that peace. So come a little bit earlier than usual. Do it with jamaat, postures are right. Then you see that namaz will work for you. Tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. That's the one thing that I'm requesting this few last weeks. The second thing I'm requesting is that, see, now we're coming towards summer, right? So Fajr namaz will come earlier, quarter past. Isha namaz will come later. Right? From now we train ourselves that whatever engagements and parties and all we have, please let it be before Isha. At home, we finish the parties, socializing, everything we finished. So we there at home, sometimes before Isha. We round everything, reading Isha namaz. Now it's between me and Allah. I gave people so much of time from the morning right till this moment. I gave people time from this moment till the morning. Then it's Allah Pak's time, and I don't want any interruption at this time. I appreciate this time. It's my precious moments, my intimate moments with Allah Ta'ala. I don't want any interruption, right? So I'm sleeping on time. Whatever I need to do, my zikrs or Quran Sharif tilawat after Isha or before Isha, after Isha then I'm off class. I don't want to see anything. Unless it's a very deeny, very important work, whatever it is. That's an exception to the rule. Otherwise, so you're getting up at the right time. When you're getting up at the right time, after Fajr, you're making tilawat, making zikr, everything you're doing in place. But I ask you, you're socializing, etc. after Isha, can you dedicate yourself on zikr, Quran Sharif tilawat in the right path, in the prime time? Prime time is the morning. فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً. Recitation of Quran Sharif, Tahajjud, etc. Can you do it? Because now you sleep, when the Fajr namaz is going to finish up, I'm going to go sleep again. So your heart is not in namaz. But your heart is not in namaz because you didn't take care of the night. Had you taken care of the night, your heart would have been in namaz. Now that namaz would have been a different thing. Now you've started off with a bad note with Allah Ta'ala. Will your day go right, I ask you? Will your day ever go right? You started off with a bad note with Allah Ta'ala. Didn't remember Him in the morning like you're supposed to remember Him. Not reciting your zikrs, your durood, your Quran Sharif. Now you want the whole day to go nicely and peacefully. Can it happen? Will it happen? So, Malakul Maut says that with two people, I'm very careful. I'm extra polite. See, this is the moment that we all are working towards. That crucial moment. That must be the transition, you know, from this world to the next. It must go so smoothly, I don't even realize. People, they are so wonderful, so beautiful, and I forget everybody else. Everything is forgotten. And the second person that has a very beautiful ending, one is the person, namaz very well, has a very beautiful, very wonderful ending, is that person who's got the right type of association. Association means, ma bihi al-ifada. Anything that you can communicate with a newspaper, with a media, with anything that communicates with you or you communicate with it in any way. Whether it's media, whether it's paper, whether it is WhatsApp, you're communicating somehow or the other. You're receiving or you're giving. Communication, you're receiving or you're letting out, right? So your association is very good, right? Now what happens? What happens when your association is very good? So one is a hadith that I want to share with you, right? And one is an experience. Let me start sort of with the experience in the hadith. The experience is this, that your association is good, very good, thorough, sound, right? The same people that you had a good relationship with, they come and encourage you to recite the kalima. They come, Allah Pak sends them, whichever way, they will encourage you, they'll come around and they'll encourage you to recite the kalima at the time that you need it most. They are coming around. They're prompting you. You needed them most at that time, they're coming and encouraging you. Right? But if you got the wrong type of association, WhatsApp and all that, then they are coming to discourage you. But you crossed it, you brought it upon yourself. You brought that, you like that association. Kama tahyuna tamutun. You love that, so you're dying with them. You love the right, so you're dying with the right. And you love the wrong, so you're dying with the wrong. Mufti Muhammad Shafisa brings a hadith and he says, as a righteous person settles in his grave. So he pleads to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak has given him everything. All green lights, everything Allah Pak has given to him. So Allah Pak, I got one aspiration in my heart. I had one dose, one friend, you know. You should remind me about you, Quran Sharif, Tamas, life after death. Come for Gush, talk about Allah Ta'ala, you know, 40 days, whatever. Allah Pak, you know, because of his inspiration, encouragement, today I am where I am. So Allah Ta'ala, like you have shown me the beauty and the wonder, the excitement of the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala, show that to him as well. Keep him straight so he can enjoy like I am enjoying today. So if the association was right, the brother has left, he's gone into the grave, he's still making dua for me. He's touched the grave already, but he's making dua for the person that encouraged him and brought him here. But on the contrary, if the association is not right, then as he touches the grave, he says to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I had a friend. That person used to discourage me. Talk about akhirah, doesn't want to listen to that, right? Namaz is going to delay me and postpone me. Everything that will attract me to material and temporary, he was encouraging me in that line. So Allah Ta'ala, you also keep him in a state of forgetfulness, that he is totally distracted, he's forgotten you, and he must suffer like I am suffering. He must go through that anguish, through that pain, like I am going through that pain and anguish. So that bad association, this is what it brings for you, and the right type of association. Therefore we say, that in this day and time, I feel, from my heart, that it's a farz ayn to do ta'lim. Because the whole day you're listening to nonsense, meeting with all type of people. Sometimes it's one person phoned up, can I do business with a gay? Hey, that type of people, just keep miles away from them. Man. That money is like as though he's pulled off from the sewage and he's giving it to you. It's so dirty, so filthy. You don't be near them. Lose that money. That type of association is not really appreciated at all. I do not say it's haram, but really, you're going to take his money, you're going to be bonding with him. Then you're going to not show the type of contempt to the wrong that he's doing. Allah Ta'ala.